Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the marvelous Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on tonight, buddy?
Not a lot. I'm a very, very agitated Evan Witalison here today. A couple things agitating me, and we're going to talk about it during the show. You know, the Hall of Fame Veterans Committee met today and named a, named their veteran nominee. And unfortunately, Jerry Kramer was not the name that they came up with. So issue number one pissing me off. And then later, after that story came out, another story broke. The NFL is planning on suspending Peppers, Matthews, Harrison, and Mike Neal if they don't cooperate, air quote, cooperate with the NFL and talk to them by August 26th, and they will be suspended until they actually speak to the NFL. Got me really angry with the NFL being a big bully at the moment. So that's another thing that has me angry. And, you know, just the stuff going on in Milwaukee, too, has me quite angry as well. You know, not everything warrants riots and burning buildings down and flipping cars and burning cars and, you know, getting angry and violent. Not everything warrants it. And why can't we wait till the full story comes out before we turn to take it to the streets and riot? So, a few things irritated me today, but a couple of things not irritating me. I've shared last week, and I'm going to share again. I broke the 100-pound loss mark in my fitness journey, and now I'm looking for people that are looking to get healthy. And actually, I've been looking for people that's wanting to get healthy. And here's what I'm looking for. I have a challenge group starting in September. As soon as I finish in Sandy Max 30, you can start it now, the program now if you want, or you can wait till September, but I recommend ordering it now or before the end of the month while it's on sale. But the quote, and Troy, you're going to love the name of this challenge. You're going to love it. Shake Your Booty and Get Fit, Country Heat Challenge. Country Heat's the latest program the Beachbody's put out, and it's a cardio dance program inspired by country line dance. And I'm looking for people that are interested. I'm looking for people that want to either A, they like to dance and they like country music, or I'm looking for people that are interested in trying something different, stepping out of their comfort zone and trying something different in order to get healthy. And it's going to be fun. That's the purpose of it. It's going to be fun, and we're going to get healthy and lose weight while doing it. If you're interested, just shoot me an email, coachevan66@gmail.com, or give me a follow on Twitter at evanwithsports, and send me a DM and let me know that you're interested. So I'm going to throw it back to you, Troy, before I go any further, and before we get on the topics that are bound to get me a little heated. So throw it to you. Heart rate going up by you.
Another hot, humid day out in western PA, as it is for a lot of the country. And, you know, thunderstorms. I'm waiting for the storms to roll in, Evan, to cool things down. You know, sometimes rain is not good. Sometimes rain is good when it can make it a little bit cooler. It's just, I've said this a million times. I don't mind the hot weather. I just don't like the sticky hot weather. And it's sticky hot weather right now. But, you know, it is where it is. I can't complain. It's where I choose to live, and that's the way the weather is. So just got to make sure your air conditioners work, which, knock on wood, mine are working currently right now. But like you said, Evan, you know, sports, couple bad things going on there. I mean, as far as Packer fans are concerned, and, you know, I didn't really want to get started on it, but this Jerry Kramer thing is just it's like I don't even have words for it, Evan. I just want to like scream at the top of my lungs because I see the veteran committee doing these things and I keep thinking to myself, why is this person better than Jerry Kramer? I don't understand it. And I just, like you, it pisses me off. It really, really makes me upset. But not going to get into it in this show. The other thing, let's just start with it. This whole thing about the NFL. And now the NFL is saying if you don't, and like you said, air quoting, cooperate. When I'm looking at it, and I've said this to Evan on the show, just talk to the NFL guys. You know, whatever it is, go talk to them. Give them your side of the story. Do what you got to do. I don't understand. Everything that was coming out, Evan, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but apparently before training camp started, or the first couple days, the NFL was supposed to talk to these guys. They were going to go right to the camps. They were going to talk to them. Apparently that didn't happen. So I understand the NFL sending a letter to comply with interviewing. Well, Evan, the NFL is such a powerful, powerful league. I'm sure they can afford somebody from New York to fly to Green Bay. Send a representative to Green Bay. You know where to find Clay Matthews. Go show up and just show up at practice and say, look, before you practice today, you're going to sit down and interview with me. You don't have to set up a special meeting. Just go do it. So that's what kind of irks me about this whole thing, Evan. Just go to the facility and interview these guys. What's so hard about that? What are your thoughts?
Well, the reason they haven't, and I'm going to cut you off, I don't know if you're done, but the Matthews and Peppers basically said that they're going to do what the Players Association or the Players Union tell them to do. That's what they're going to do. And the Players Association, they had the players, Peppers, Matthews, Neal, and Harrison, send signed affidavits basically laying out their part of the story. But to the NFL, it wasn't enough. And the NFL wants to talk to them. And the Players Association saying no, you know, no reason to kind of thing. And to me, this is the NFL just being a bully. Roger Goodell is being a bully. He wants to get his way, and he's not getting his way, so now he's saying, I'm going to suspend you. Now, there's an interesting article by Kevin Seifert. I know the easy answer is just talk to the NFL and tell them what, you know, tell them what they want to know. Give them the answer to their questions. He brings up a good point here. An article that he posted on ESPN, Kevin Seifert. Tom Brady and retired defensive lineman Anthony Hargrove, they went to the NFL. They talked to the NFL. They answered the NFL's questions. And you know what the NFL did? They suspended them anyway. Tom Brady is serving a 4-game suspension to start the season because the NFL determined he was more than likely than not involved in a scheme to play football, even though the league's final report basically did not shred of any evidence to conclude that. They said he didn't hand over his mobile phone, even though he said he provided all the information the league requested from him. And then with Hargrove, he was the fall guy for Bountygate, and he got suspended for an entire season of 2012 because he apparently said, pay me my money, after he put a hit on Brett Favre. And NFL Films confirmed that Hargrove's account was true, but he still got suspended, lost money. NFL quietly even acknowledged it. They just kind of brushed it under the rug. So Peppers and Matthews and Harrison and Neal cooperating with the NFL, talking to the investigators, talking to Goodell, it doesn't mean it's going to work out for them in the end. Yeah, it did for Peyton Manning. But if the NFL doesn't feel that Anthony's or Peppers or Harrison or Neal or, you know, truthful, if the NFL doesn't feel they left something out, even though there's no evidence to the contrary, they're going to get suspended anyways. I don't know how this suspension holds. I really don't. Because they don't have any, they don't have a shred of evidence. Neither, you know, Peppers, Matthews, or Harrison have never failed at all in their entire NFL career. They've never failed. They've passed every test they've ever gotten. And the guy who basically opened this can of worms has come back and said that no, this, you know, he doesn't have any evidence of this, and it was all made up bullshit. The guy who, the intern that was interviewed for the Al Jazeera report, came out and said, "Oh, this was bullshit." He was pretty much mouthing off, trying to get some publicity here. But yet the NFL is still going hardcore into this investigation. So I'm perfectly fine with Peppers and Matthews not talking, because if the NFL doesn't like what they hear, they're going to suspend you anyways, because the NFL is going to do what the NFL is going to do. And that goes to Roger Goodell having the ultimate authority on punishment, which I've gone on record on the show numerous times, Charlie, saying I think it's BS that he is the judge, jury, and executioner when it comes to discipline. I think they need a third party. You know, the NBA, they have a third party that hands out the suspension. The commissioner, Adam Silver, does not hand out the suspension. I don't think the commissioner of baseball hands out the suspensions anymore. And if he does, when it gets appealed, he'd got nothing to do with the appeal. But Roger Goodell has final say over everything. So I'm going to stop ranting, then I'm going to throw it back to you. I want to get your thoughts there. What do you think about Peppers and Matthews?
Well, this is what I want to say, is I'm with you about them not talking to the NFL. What my point here was is if the NFL is dead set on having them talk to them, then they need to send somebody there instead of giving them an ultimatum that they have to cooperate.
Yeah. Well, the players union won't let them talk. The players union said, no, you can't talk.
So my point here is if that's what they want to do, then set it up with the Players Association, get out there. We're flying out here. NFL say, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go there, do it, whatever, work it, whatever. So like you, I'm on your side. The NFL is beating the NFL. I think what you're going to see happen, Evan, is Roger Goodell has already determined that he wants to suspend him. This is his way of doing it because they're not going to talk to him. Then they're going to suspend him. Then it's going to be appealed. All this bull crap. At the end of the day, it is a bunch of crap, and we've talked about it on the show. You just said it. Roger Goodell. I'll throw it out there again. He's playing God again. And I think I came up with that, Evan, 2 years ago when I threw that out there? I get all upset about this whole thing. You and I are on the same page with this. There is no rhyme or reason to a lot of things because there's one man ruling the roost and trying to put his iron fist down. And then I see this letter, and it's like, well, this is kind of tit for tat there. There's ways to make things work. And so at the end of the day, this is a report, like you said, it's come out, and now it's like, well, where's the supporting evidence? And at the end of the day, Evan, these four guys, it all matters if Roger Goodell wants to suspend them or not. And if he does, then he will. It is actually crazy. This whole thing is just, I look at it from the standpoint of Roger Goodell, and I'm like, what are you doing? It's a battle, you know, a battle, like you said, between the Players Association, the NFL, and Roger Goodell does not like being wrong. He doesn't like being shown up, and that's what happened with the signed affidavit. Nope, like you had mentioned it, it's not the way Roger Goodell wanted it, so that is not the way that it works. Now it's going to turn into a huge fiasco that it didn't have to turn out to be. But on a bright note, Evan, on a good note, Green Bay Packers finally got to play a game. And, you know, now they've got those jitters out. So I'll turn it back to you. First preseason game. What were your thoughts?
Well, I have a few thoughts. First of all, it's preseason, so can't really look into it, you know, too much excitement. First of all, Eddie Lacy looked pretty good. He looked much more explosive. And there's an article on Packers.com talking that he feels much more explosive. Well, duh, he's Tony Horton all offseason. Of course you're going to feel more explosive. I'm not an NFL player, but I feel more explosive just by doing Tony Horton's workouts of 22-minute hardcore P90X3. I feel more explosive. So it was nice seeing Lacy looking pretty good in the limited carries that he had. So that's number one. Number two, Jared Abadaran looks pretty good. He always seems to be in the right spot. And I wonder, there are a few times that Abadaran didn't make a catch because the rookie quarterback, Calhoun, overthrew him. Kind of makes me wonder what Abadaran would have done if Aaron Rodgers was in the game throwing him the football. Because Abadaris just knows how to get open. He knows where to find the holes. He knows how to get open. And he's just a good player all around. He just knows what to do. Defensively, defense did pretty well at times. They looked physical, which is good. They need to be physical, especially Blatinez. He had a very nice pressure up the middle. He didn't miss a tackle. But then he had a very nice up-the-middle blitz that disrupted the quarterback's timing on his screen pass. And he just got through there in a hurry. And I like what Martinez did. So a lot of promising things to look at. And the other thing is they didn't really have any injuries at all on Friday night. The major injury from the Packers came in practice, and that was Jeff Janis having a fracture in his hand, and he needed surgery today to install some pins in his middle finger. And that's a big loss for Green Bay, and it has nothing to do with Janis' ability to be a receiver. He just brings a lot on special teams. And Janis is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Well, now it's going to make the decision that much harder for what the Packers need to do a wide receiver position. They're not going to see Janis run a route for the next 4 to 6 weeks. He's out. So now the question is, what do the Packers do with Janis? You can't justify giving him a roster spot over one of the other receivers. Ty Montgomery's back. He's looked decent. Geronimo Allison, a guy I've been really high on coming into the draft, he's looked very good. Davis was a high draft pick this year. Adams was a high draft pick 2 years ago. There's just not a lot of options at wide receiver. Not a lot of openings, I should say. And you can't really justify putting Janis over any of those guys if they're going to now get an extended look at. So my question is, what do? Do you release him? Do you put him on IR? You can't pup him right now because he practiced, so you can't put him on the pup list. So, you know, you have to put him on the 53-man roster or cut him. Well, I guess the only option they have then is put him on the IR and – you know, they don't have the designated return category anymore. Really, you can anyone you put on IR, you don't have to name them right then and there that they're designated to return. You can decide at a later date and time that you want him designated to return. So they could put Janis on the IR, and basically either he takes a year off and sits and observe and learns, or you have till week 10 to add him back on the roster. And who knows what injuries may happen between then and now. So I don't know, a lot of different things they can do with Janis. So what are your takeaways from week one, and what do you think the Packers should do with the whole Janis injury situation?
Yeah, well, my takeaways, you already kind of stole my thunder. No injuries in the game. That is my huge takeaway. We knew that a lot of the starters were not going to play extended time, and I think it should be that way. I mean, you put players at risk. I know they need that game time to get in sync and to run some offense and do things like that. But at the end of the day, Evan, my ultimate win watching Green Bay Packer preseason football No major injuries. Now, the Janis injury that came about, I'll talk about that in a little bit because I have a couple more things to talk about with the game. You know, when I look at the game itself, I'm seeing Evan, and again, I know it's you know, like second, third, fourth string guys that really have to show the hustle to play, to make roster spots. It just seemed to me, though, that there is a very good sense of, I guess, urgency that you and I talked a little bit about a couple weeks ago. I just liked the way that they were flying to the ball on defense. Now, that could result, I saw a few missed tackles. Hopefully that's not a contagious thing and something we're talking about here in week six of the regular season. But I liked the way that they were playing with a lot of intensity. And you would think that that will carry over to the first and second team when they're getting extended time. But I was real impressed with those things. You know, and nobody, like, really stood out to me, Evan, as, wow, we found a gem here, you know, a third stringer that could surprise people in a year or two. I just thought it was overall, for the first preseason game, I liked the tempo. The tempo the Packers came out to play with, and we discussed this. Those tempo things come from the top. They come from the coaching staff down. And so to see them go out and play with that kind of tempo, I liked it, and that intensity. Now, again, I also have to take into consideration, like I said, these guys have no choice but to play that way because they're fighting for roster spots. Just to touch on the Eddie Lacy thing, yeah, I mean, I didn't think any less of Eddie Lacy this year. We all know this is his contract year. He worked out hard in the offseason. He's going to bust his butt. He wants to get one more payday. Well, get for a running back, it'll be probably the big payday. And so I don't expect anything less from Eddie Lacy. He looks good. He did what he had to do in the offseason. It's great for Packer fans. Just enjoy this ride. Just enjoy it because I think Eddie Lacy is going to have a great year. I mean, he's a guy that is on a mission this year. Jeff Janis thing, Evan, I think, you know, the smart move for Green Bay is to put him on IR. You hate to put him on the 53-man roster right now, especially when you got such great competition at the wide receiver position. If the Packers were hurting at wide receiver and didn't have a lot of depth, then I'd say, okay, well, just put him on the roster. I think the move is that you put him on IR. I don't think you make this guy expendable to the rest of the league right now. Jeff Janis has still a good learning curve. We've talked about it. He's got things to work on. And so, you know, I'm defending him now. I'm defending the guy. The injury that, you know, is going to set him back. But I still like Jeff Janis, and I still think he has potential. Now, is it with Green Bay? Maybe not. But I think that you give him the benefit of the doubt. You put him on IR. You wait out this 4 to 6 weeks, and you keep him around. I don't think you make him expendable to the league right now. You know, like you mentioned, the designated to return rule has changed. I'm not even saying you have to bring him back this season. I'm just saying keep him around in camp. Again, I like where the learning curve could go, just not there yet. And I thought, you know, when we were talking about early in camp, that he was falling down the depth chart a little bit. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't have potential and he doesn't have talent. And like you said, Evan, his greatest contributions can come on special teams. And that's why I said you don't hold a spot for Jeff Janis. I think that would be a silly move. But I think going on IR and keeping the guy around and investing your faith in him, that could benefit. Being on IR, you know, he's still, you know, so-called part of the team, as I air quote. But I would go the injured reserve route. That's my thought. Because, you know, give the guy a little bit more of a chance because I think the learning curve is there. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the learning curve there as well. You know, most wide receivers, it takes about 3 years before they really become an impact player. And
I think if you basically give him a redshirt year, what you would essentially be doing is potentially bringing them back later in the year if they have an injury and you know, you decide to put them, you know, designate them to return later in the year. You know, that's going to be a great asset to the team potentially later on down the road. So one guy I want to talk about from preseason action, Dak Prescott. Now, I know his first preseason game, and I know it was a pretty vanilla Rams defense. Like, they weren't really showing much to the Cowboys. But he did really well on Saturday. Prescott looked really good. And I'm looking at him from this perspective. So his throws were right on the money. He placed the ball perfectly on a lot of the big games he had. His feet were set. His feet were good. His eyes were downfield, and he was, he was stepping towards where he was going to. Mechanically, Prescott looked very good. I was very impressed by him. I think the Cowboys might have, and it's early, but I think the Cowboys might have found a diamond in the rough to replace Tony Romo in the next 2 to 3 years, because now he's going to have, 2 to 3 years to sit behind Romo and learn the NFL game. I think Prescott could be a pretty decent quarterback. Now that it is early, and he could go out in his next preseason game, but I just like what I saw from him mechanically, and it was consistent. His mechanics were consistent, and to me, that was key. That was very key to me right there. So out of all the preseason games, I think Thursday was the first preseason game. Out of all the preseason games, is there any – player or game that's really stood out to you before we let our listeners go?
Not really. I just want to touch on the Cowboys. I think you're right. I know, again, it's one game. It's the first preseason game. And you really can't evaluate. And that's why I'm saying, you're asking me if anybody stood out. My answer is not really. It's the first preseason game. Not a lot of starters playing, not a lot of, elaborate type defenses. Basically what you're doing, I don't want to say this in a mean way, but if you're getting extended playing time in this first preseason game, it most likely means you're on the ball. And it most likely means that these coaches want to get an extended look at you because they're not real certain about it. The guys that didn't play a lot, I'm not saying they're safe. I mean, as a starter usually are, but in this game, if you went in and didn't play a lot, it probably means that, hey, the coaches are seeing enough of you, have seen enough of you to already have an evaluation and kind of know where your skill set is, good or bad. But I think these games, especially week one of the preseason, is set up so that these coaches can get a real extended look at rookies, free agents, guys that are on the bubble, but not really – nobody really stood out to me, Evan, as far as this is a guy I got to keep my eye on. Now, week two, I'll probably pay a little more attention, probably watch a little more on NFL Network as they show, the replay of all the preseason games. But like you said, it's interesting to bring up the Cowboys because we were talking about this. What did they need to do if Tony Romo gets hurt? I'm a big supporter, Evan. I've said it a million times, of quarterbacks sitting and learning. I have always thought that. I know that, when you draft quarterbacks in the first round, that they got to get in and play. But this guy's in a great situation. Whether, you're a Tony Romo hater, you still got to give the guy credit. And he wins games for Dallas. And he's a very intelligent quarterback. And to be able to learn behind Tony Romo is going to benefit him tremendously. You don't have to get thrown into the fire. You can sit. You can learn the offense. There's nothing better. I know you got to play, but the mental part of the game and the preparation and learning and all of those things, he's not learning under fire. He can learn at a more steady pace and really observe and just take it all in. So I agree with you. I think the Cowboys may have found a a capable backup for Tony Romo right now and a possible long-term starter. Again, there's a long way to go, and like you said, he could poo the bed in the next game. But he's a rookie. He's going to make mistakes. But I think he's in a good situation to be able to learn behind Tony Romo.
Yeah, with that, I got nothing else to add. I'm looking at the time. It's our live show is over, so I'm going to throw it back to you to say goodbye to our listeners and call it a night.
Yeah, I put in the preview we were going to talk a little Olympics tonight, so hopefully nobody tuned in just to listen to the Olympic talk. But I know last week you had to take a day off. I talked a little bit about the Olympics, so tomorrow night I think we'll touch on some Olympics. A lot of great feel-good stories in these Olympics, Evan, that I want to talk about. And, you know, the U.S. is just mopping up in the medal count. So we'll talk some Olympics tomorrow night, you know, women's gymnastics, swimming, USA basketball. So tomorrow night we'll talk a little bit of Olympics. So with that said, everyone, hope you enjoyed the show tonight. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. We'll get back at you tomorrow night.